Your Bibles with me, Jeremiah chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter number 9. I've got into the book of Jeremiah, looks like, here last couple of Sundays, but I want to share this with you today out of Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. I want you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now I call your attention, please, in verse number 24. He said, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Knoweth me. I'm interested in that thought today of knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the singing of the songs and sweet spirit. And Father, now we come and read the Word of God. Time for preaching, and I pray that you'd help us. We need a divine touch. We need your illumination. And I pray, Father, there be a divine move of God in our hearts and in our minds so that we may say what needs to be said. But I pray it not just be said with the effort of our human flesh, but Father, and the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God would take the Word of God and bring conviction where it's needed, encouragement where it's needed, a challenge where it's needed. I pray you take thy word, speak to our hearts, and do what's needful in this service. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus and confess a devil defeated and Jesus Christ the victor. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been asked, do you know somebody by name? And Brother Love, I noticed him sitting back there. He's been visiting with us some. And I, first time he came, I looked at him. And reminded me of a singer. And I went back there and asked him because I was sure I knew him from somewhere and singing. Now, he may sing. I don't know about that. But he said not as a singer that I know him. But he looked like somebody that I knew. I had met along the way. And sometimes you meet somebody and they remind you of somebody and you think you know them, but you don't really know them. You just think you do. And that's how it was. And some people ask me if I know a preacher. And the name may sound familiar. I may say I've heard of him. I ought to know who you're talking about, but I cannot picture him, cannot get it. And then they may ask me about somebody, and I'd say, yes, I know who they are. I know them. I may be acquainted with them. And then there's other people that I have real close fellowship with. They ask, do I know them? I really know them. And Brother Gary Tingen, I work with him in the Prior Baptist Missions, and I know basically how he thinks about missions and what his philosophy is along that line. In certain situations, I can just about predict what he'll say or think and how he'll handle it. He can do the same thing with me, I'm sure. And as you work with people, you begin, as the closer fellowship you have, the more you begin to understand them and hear God saying, to understand and knoweth me. And that caught my attention. I want to know more about him. I don't want to just be acquainted with him. I want to know more about him and know him better. Amen. It ought to be every Christian, every saved person's desire ought to be to know him better and to make him known to others. That certainly ought to be our ambition, our desire in our hearts. And I say to you today, I hunger to know him better. And so do you know the Lord? I read this little thing one time about this little girl, and she went to see her grandparents, and they took her to a church she'd never been to before. And she got home, she was telling her mom and dad about the church. And she said, there wasn't anybody there that I knew but God. Amen. I'm glad she knew God. Amen. Could you go away and say, I know God. Amen. And it's good to be in a place where you know God's there. But you got to know God to know whether God's there or not. And today I pray that you know God. If you don't know him, now you may have heard of him and he may sound familiar to you. It may be someone that you have even read about. It may be somebody that you have heard about, but you don't really know him. I pray today be the day that the Holy Spirit of God will make it surreal to you that you'll want to know him and come to know him personally as your Lord and your Savior. And thinking of that, I remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy, I believe, 1 and 12. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. And so I know whom I have believed. I know him. Amen. I have met him. I have not only heard of him. I have not only been read about him. I know only that, but I know him because I personally accepted and trusted him as my Lord and my Savior. Do you know him today as your Lord and Savior? And Paul said in Philippians 3 and 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I thank God for the reality of knowing him today, to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Fact is, Paul said that he counted all things but loss, that I may know the excellency of knowing him. I say to you today, may God help us to know him better and better. And so as we think of this subject, knowing the Lord, I pray that God will help us today. And we're going to look at three things about knowing the Lord. And I pray that God would help us as we do that and make it real to us. May the Holy Spirit take the word of God and make it real and touch our hearts and our lives and challenge us in this day as we see ourselves. Now look at verse 23. I give you this in introduction, then I'm going to get into the message. But in verse number 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. He said, wise men glory in what they know, and said, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches. Money, he said, don't glory in that, and don't glory in the status of the society or might and that kind of thing, but glory in the fact that you know the Lord. The best thing that could possibly ever happen to you is know the Lord. Outside of that, everything else falls in insignificance, but to know him. And so today, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Amen. I'm glad that you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you're glad that you know him. But if you don't know him, I pray the Holy Spirit will make it real to you today that you don't know him, and touch your heart that you may know him. Now, let me say this. Knowledge of the redeeming Lord brings salvation. Knowledge of the redeeming Lord brings salvation. Look with me in Luke chapter 1, verse 77. Luke chapter 1, verse 77. Knowledge of the redeeming Lord. I'm glad he is a redeemer. You remember the story of Ruth over there, and she got back with Naomi, and Boaz was a near kinsman, and they needed redemption, and they was one near but couldn't redeem, but and fell to Boaz, and Boaz was that near kinsman that redeemed her. And bought by, I'm glad, praise God, I have a near kinsman. And he said, I'll pay the price. And he did pay the price. He did what needed to be done. He could do it and did do it. And they sang that song a while ago. He did come down. He did come to save. I'm glad that he did. And I praise God that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, loved us enough. And think about the young people today and what's in the bulletin about God loves you so much, but he loves older folk and middle age and any other kind of age. He loved us enough to come from glory and go to the cross of Calvary. He didn't just come to set a good example. He didn't come just to live a good life. He didn't come just to raise some folk that had died. He didn't come just to heal some sick. He came to go to Calvary and pay the sin debt for man that he might purchase us unto himself. I'm glad Jesus paid it all to him I owe. And he is my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer. And so now knowing him, the redeeming Lord brings salvation. Look in verse 77 of Luke chapter 1. To give knowledge of salvation unto the people by the remission of their sins. I want to read that again to you so you'll be sure that you get it. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. That's why Jesus came. He came so that our sins could be forgiven, remission of our sins. He came to redeem us. He came to pay that price. And I say to you today, aren't you glad we have a living Savior? He not only died for our sins, he rose from the dead, ascended back into heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father to intercede. He's the only mediator there is between man and God. And he intercedes today that people might be saved, and then intercedes for us that are saved, that we may have fellowship and communion with the living God, that we may know him. And you'll never go any further in knowing God until you know him as a redeeming Savior. He redeems. Thank God he does. Amen. I'm glad for that precious redemption that he did for me at Calvary and paid that price. You said, preacher, you preach that all the time. God, forgive me if I never preach it. Amen. If I don't preach it, may God have mercy on me, because that's what it's all about. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that got me in. That'll get you in. That'll get anybody in that will repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They can and will be saved. I'm glad for that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich unto all that call upon him. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Hallelujah. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I say glory, hallelujah. But not all have obeyed the gospel, as Isaiah said, who have believed our report. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he came to redeem us. I'm glad the word of God is here to be preached to you. I'm glad that we can confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, and be saved. He made us a promise, Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, he promised it. He'll do it. I'm saved. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. If you are saved, thank God and praise God for the reality of redeeming Lord. Knowledge of him brings salvation. And so knowing the Lord, I'm glad I know him as my Savior. I'm glad I know him personally as my kinsman redeemer. When he redeemed Naomi and Ruth and paid the price, and he bought them, and Ruth became his wife, do you think Ruth stood back and just lightly took that? Why, Naomi and her were getting excited when he was getting ready to redeem, and everything was working up to it. They were already excited. They were already getting something there they knew was coming. Brother Bill, praise God. I'm glad before I got saved, there was something working in my heart. I anticipated something going on. I didn't really know all was going on, didn't know what was happening, but I knew something was happening on the inside, that God was doing something. But oh, when he made it real to me that he was my redeemer, he paid my price, and I could be forgiven, and he would live with me, and he would take me as a bride. He's the bridegroom. I say glory, hallelujah. It really got exciting then. Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad it's real to know him as a redeeming Lord. Do you know him today? Knowing the Lord, do you know him? And I just heard about him. I've heard of the cross. I've heard of the blood. I've heard of being redeemed. I've heard about being saved. But do you know? Do you know him as a redeeming Savior? Praise God. If you don't, today's a good day to know. Now let me say, know him as a reigning Lord will bring sanctification. That word may scare some folk, but don't let it scare you. Sanctification simply means set apart. And we're sanctified in him, set apart in him. And of course, we're set apart to live for him and let him have his way in our hearts and our lives. And I pray that God would help us. And I quote Brother Mitchell a whole lot because he has such great sayings, you can't help but remember some of the things he says. He talks about repenting and how you know you repent because you keep on repenting. And how you know you believe because you keep on believing. And how you know God saved you because you keep on saving. Amen. You say, preacher, I thought you saved one time. You are. If you're born again, saved. But 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, who delivered us from so great a death and doeth deliver, and whom we trust he will yet deliver. I want you to know he has saved me from the penalty of sin. He is now saving me from the power of sin. He someday shall deliver me from the very presence of sin. Amen. As a continuation of that work of God, he saved me from that penalty of sin. I don't have to go to hell. That's over with. That's done. I am now secure in him because I know him. I know him as a redeeming Lord, but I also know him as reigning Lord. He's in charge. Somebody said, well, you get saved, and then later you can decide whether you want him to be your Lord or not. And I got a good old country Virginia word for that, hogwash. Hogwash. Amen. Preacher, what that mean? Means nonsense. Amen. How in the world can you trust him as your Savior without taking him as your Lord? That's like saying, Lord, I want you to keep me out of hell, but I'm not interested in living for you. I don't care a thing in the world about what you got to say about I shouldn't do or ought to do. I don't care about that. All I want you to do is just help me right now. And some people have that idea, but it's not how it works. If you ever really get under Holy Ghost conviction and God begins to draw you to himself, you will realize he's Lord. I may be like the old feller said, I didn't know what it meant when I got saved, but I knew I was under new management. Amen. I didn't know all about the Lordship of Christ. I didn't know what, I can give you the terminology and the theological exposition of all that, but I knew one thing, I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away. And behold, all things became new. Things didn't look the same. Things didn't seem the same. I didn't have the same desire. Hey, was something happened on the inside that changed me. And did it make you perfect? In God's eyes, I'm perfected in Christ Jesus. But humanly on this side, in this flesh, no, it didn't make me perfect. I still have flesh to deal with. I still have this old flesh to contend with. By the way, we sometimes are cowed down by a flesh, that a roaring lion that has had his teeth pulled, has been declawed. Amen. The devil is a defeated foe. Now, I'm not trying to say the devil doesn't have power. I'm not trying to say the devil doesn't really do all he can and works all he can against him. Brother Hazelwood mentioned this morning, he doesn't quit, doesn't let up. He keeps on, and he does that. But we as Christian people, we have a victory in Christ that has overcome the devil. Jesus defeated him. And over in Genesis chapter 3, you remember he talking about giving a prophecy concerning the devil. He said that his seed would bruise the heel of the Lord's seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman would bruise his head. Well, Jesus was the seed of the woman, and the devil bruised his heel at Calvary. But I want you to know Jesus bruised his head in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and walked out victorious, took the keys of hell and death, and said, I'm alive forevermore. Over in Revelation 1:18, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, have the keys of hell and death. I say, glory to God. I'm glad he has the keys. He defeated the devil. Amen. This old flesh, we let it come in the way, and it does get in our way. I understand that. But we need to remember, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so this old flesh, we ought to say, is crucified with Christ, count it dead. And how in the world can you be defeated by something dead anyhow? Amen. So if a flesh is dead, can't defeat you. And then this world system, now I like his thought, this world system. And we talk about how much pressure it is, and it is. I understand that. And all kinds of ungodliness around us and about us, and world society and all that. But did you know what? We that are saved are raised above this world, and we're seated with him in heavenly places. If we're raised above, hey, Jesus walks on top of all the circumstances. You remember the Apostle Peter stepped out of the boat? He walked on water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. And Jesus already walking on the water, on top of the storm, on top of the waves, on top of that that would sink him. He's already walking on top of it. He was in control of all of it. And Peter said, let me come. He said, come on. He started walking. Hey, you and I today, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And no matter what the circumstances are, he's on top of it. He's above it. And we've been raised up above with him. I say glory how. In fact, yes, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink. And the only thing he cried was, Lord, save me. He didn't go no long dissertation about how I need to keep looking and I messed up. And boy, I need to go some kind of counseling and I need to have a bunch of people talk about all their same kind of problems so they can help me. All he did was cry out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down, picked him up, and put him in the ship. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad. Where's Brother Grubbs? Give me an oomph over there. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, we've got one that can reach down and help us when the storms are raging, winds are blowing, the waves are going everywhere, and just say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And he understands and helps us. Amen. Aren't you glad he does? Praise God. I'm glad. Know him. Do you know him? Know him as a redeeming Lord. He saves you. Know him as a reigning Lord. Sanctifies you. Sets you apart. Helps you overcome. Gives you victory. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Always triumph in Christ. I'm glad for that. I want you to turn with me in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to get to the third point in just a minute. I looked at my watch, and a little girl asked her daddy one day in church, said, the preacher looked at his watch, now what does that mean? Said, it doesn't mean a thing. Heard a man preaching on the radio this morning as I came into church, and he said, had a fellow in his church, went to barbershop on Monday morning, said the barber was mad. So asked him what was wrong with him. Said, you're such an evil move, what's wrong with you? Said, well, why would you feel if your preacher preached a 5 minutes after 12. Said, ours did yesterday. The other man said, well, I'd stand up and shout because ours preached at 12:30. We'll get to the third point. Just hang around. Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord, you come to get in anyhow. Didn't come to get out, came to get in. Amen. I'm glad you know the Lord. But Ephesians 1:20. Talking about Jesus being the overcomer now. We're talking about being sanctified in Christ. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Have put all things under his feet. I love that. Have put all things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things in the church. So he's in authority. And so we today can know the Lord as a reigning Lord. He's in charge. Somebody said, boy, everything, looks like everything's out of control. Don't panic. Don't panic. He's still on the throne. And he's still in control. If you know the Lord, you know as a redeeming Lord, you're on your way. Then you know him as a reigning Lord. You don't have to get unduly disturbed about everything. We can be concerned about, but don't get unduly disturbed because he reigns supreme and he's in charge and he'll have the final say. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what man plans and what man thinks and what all the doom day they have to say. Jesus Christ has the last word. It'll be all right. Then let me say this. Knowing him as a returning Lord brings you security. That ties what I just said. Amen. If you know that he is a returning Lord, it keeps you from being unduly disturbed. He's coming back. Hallelujah. Preacher, I've heard that all my life. I'm glad you have. You're going to hear it again this morning. He's coming back. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I say hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, he's gone away, but he's coming back. He said, I'm coming back to get you, and I believe he's coming back to get me. Amen. And you can rest assured he's coming back to get us. And that'll help you in these days when everything looks like it's falling apart. Everything, what's our security down here in this world? I'll tell you where our security is. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's in his blessed return, the blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He will come again. He will come again. Maybe today. What a glorious day it'd be for him to come and take us home. Amen. And you say, preacher, I'm nervous and I'm upset and I got circumstances going on. Well, he's coming back. Amen. It's going to get better. And everything's going to work out all right because he's got in charge of. I realize there may be some valleys between now and then, and there may be some uncertainties between now and then, all that in this world's concern. But you and I can be certain of this. At Jesus' sake, we can know him as saving, as a redeeming Lord. We can know him as a reigning Lord, and we can know him as a returning Lord. Do you know the Lord? If you know the Lord is returning Lord, you're looking for his coming. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he's pure. That'll make you want to go to church. That'll make you want to live for God. That'll make you want to tell other people. That'll cause you to want to magnify his name. That'll cause you to want to give him glory. Amen. Cause you want to pray. Cause you want to lead the word of God. Knowing the Lord, he's returning Lord. He's coming back to get us. If somebody's coming to your house and you don't know him, you don't pay much attention to that. Well, you may pay real close attention these days if somebody's coming to your house and you don't know them. But you're not excited about them coming because you don't know who they are. You don't know anything about them. But somebody coming to your house and it's some one of your loved ones you hadn't seen for a while, and you see them drive in or see them come up to your door, your heart, you get excited because you know them and you're looking for them. Hallelujah. Praise God. You young folk don't understand what it is for parents to see their children come home. Just see them come in the door. What an exciting time. That's joy. That's joy. Because you know them. You love them. They're part of your family. I'm looking for him. I know him as a returning Lord. I know him. Praise God, he's returning for me. He loves me. He cares about me. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I want to know him better. I want to know more about him. But I'm glad I know him. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the privilege to know you. Thank you today. It's not just someone we know about, have heard of, met somewhere. Sounds familiar. But Lord, we know Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name today that the Holy Spirit make it real now to hearts of those that do not know him. Father, may they today, the Holy Spirit, do the convicting work and draw them by your power. I pray you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. Magnify yourself and get glory in this invitation. I pray for those who may know Jesus. But Father, they realize there's things in their life they need to get right. There's things they need to come pray about. There's things they need to do. I pray you speak to their hearts. Help all of us today to let you examine us. Help us today to have that desire and hunger to know you better. Father, speak to every heart, rebuke the devil, plead the blood. This invitation, magnify yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.